Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, and today we have Desi. Desi, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, guys, how are you? I am a almost 40-year-old mother of three. I live in Ontario, Canada, so I know that our time zones are completely opposite, or they're completely different right now. But I'm so happy to be here. I have a podcast myself. It's called the Triggered by Trauma Podcast. And I believe I started it in maybe the spring of 2021. So I was going through, I don't even know. I think it's just something that I want to tell my story. Like, all my life, I knew that there was a story to be told. And I wanted to write a book. I wanted a biography. I had so many ideas on how I wanted to put this together, but I guess I'm not a very good writer. I even tried buying those books where you just fill in the blanks, and I got to certain points in it and it was just too much and I couldn't do it. I couldn't push through. So when I started doing the podcast and I realized that this is the thing for me, just speaking on it and talking through all of the stuff, this was something that was so eye-opening for me because it flowed so easily. It came out so easily. It helped me go through the things that I didn't realize I had been hanging onto for so long that were just like stuck within my body. And it was like, after I did the podcast, I did a couple episodes and I didn't hash out everything, because I think we all have like our little things that we just do not want to share to the world. But everything that I shared just felt so freeing. And I didn't know until I got on the other side of the podcast exactly how much stuff I needed to work on, all the things that I needed to kind of get through. So right now for me, I have a clothing apparel business right now that I'm super duper busy with. That's been taking up most of my time. I have a home cleaning services business that is mostly residential, that I have some incredible people who work for me there. I just noticed that my first one was 1 year ago this month, but I was hosting women's healing circles. And that, I believe, is something that we need in this world. It's something that you don't realize you're giving a platform to people that truly do. They just need it. They just need the sisterhood. They need the community. And myself, I think we all go through this, not quite imposter syndrome, but a feeling of, is this good? Like, am I doing right by these people? I know that I have a lot of love behind what I'm doing, but it's still a scary place to be, having people open up their own wounds and their own traumas and stuff. And because I'm not, you know, a board certified or registered psychologist or therapist, or I didn't go to university for many years to have those qualifications, I get questioned a lot on whether or not I should be doing this. And when I'm asked about it, my response is the fact that I've been through a lot and I care, you know, and the fact that I care, I think I care a lot more than any doctor I've ever seen in my life. So I kind of have that love behind what I'm doing. And I'm grateful to be able to hold space for these women who I feel are grateful for that space to have.
Well, one of the reasons why I started this podcast was simply I believe that we create community by sharing our stories. One of the things that was important for me is for people to be able to self-identify with how their trauma is showing up in their lives, and which is why I have people here sharing their stories to and through Survival Mode. So why don't you tell us your story to and through Survival Mode, so we can create some community around you.
Thank you. Okay, so it always feels like I'm doing therapy when I go through these sessions. So, first of all, thank you for the platform. I'm very grateful. It's one of those things when you're kind of asked, what is your story? Like, where did this all start for you? How did things come about? It always, for me, goes back to childhood. You know, I grew up in a broken home. When I was, I think, like 2 years old is when my parents divorced. And I think without knowing, these are the things that make or break us as children. And at 2 years old, my world had shifted completely. And although I don't remember these things happening, somatics has been showing me that we still hold these things in our body deep within. So my parents divorced when I was little. My dad was really big on partying and always had his friends hanging out. I remember waking up 3 o'clock in the morning to like rock and roll in the living room. My grandmother actually moved in with us after my mom had left. So there was this big gap of when I was little, not really understanding like where my mom was or not seeing her. And I'm sure she was there more often than my memory can serve, but it's one of those things that I don't remember her being there. I just remember the partying happening around us and all of those things. Some of the things that I'll kind of tap into while I'm chatting with you here are some of the things that I've mentioned in episodes that I've done already. I just won't go as intense into them, but I did live with my dad until I was about 9 years old, and he had who he's married to now. He has his partner who has a son who were not very good to us. His wife was very abusive towards myself. I have two older brothers as well. And she was a very abusive parent in the home for us. At the same time, my mother was remarrying and trying to go for custody of us. So it was kind of like when I look at a lot of the things that I deal with on an emotional level now, it's a lot of the neglect things, noticing that my mom had left and wasn't there for very difficult times in my life. And then it was like she was then the hero because she had rescued us from a time that was very traumatizing with the abuse and that. So I think she came in at a good time, but there was still so much going on between the two sides of the families. Once I had moved in with my mom, I was able to kind of express and realize that all of the things we were going through were actually abuse. I had witnessed, you know, alcoholism happening at a young age in the home. I had seen just the disgusting behavior of adults when they're under the influence of drugs and alcohol that a child should never have to go through or never have to see. Once I moved in with my mother, it was kind of like, this is a safe haven for me. This is somewhere that I'm going to be protected and loved and cared for. But I still had a custody agreement where I had to go and visit my dad's home every other weekend. One of those weekends that I had gone there, I had been, I never know the proper terminology, but I think it was a molestation that had happened while I was sleeping. And I was too scared to speak up. I was 11 years old, so I was too scared to speak up. And once I actually had to go back there 2 weeks later, I was too scared to go. My mother had realized something was going on. And when I explained what had happened, I was still made to go in to this home where I had the trauma from 2 weeks prior. So I was forced to go into this home now to face what had happened to me with one of my brother came with me, but my mother did not come with me. And these are the things now as an adult and having my own children where I'm constantly questioning. First of all, I would never put my kids in that situation where, like, if something had happened to them, I see red. Like, you're right into the protective mode. Whereas I'm like, how did they send me back into that place without any protection? I don't remember my mother being there with me. And then when I expressed to my dad what had happened, I was not believed. I was called a liar. And at 11 years old, small child called a liar. And I was told by my dad's wife, oh, we should go get a lie detector test. And I was like, okay, yep. And they didn't do that because they would have found that I was not wrong. But that was something that even after that happened, I still had to keep going back there every other weekend because of the custody agreement. And it's just something that to this day blows my mind and is very, it's very questionable. I need to be clear now that like I do not have a relationship with my father. I cut that relationship off over many years of trying to make it work, trying to have a relationship so that I didn't feel that need for the father figure, that desire to have the parent with me. But there was also a time, and I honestly think it was before that had happened, where my father had gone away for a wedding for the night, and I was with one of my brothers, and he was supposed to be protecting me and taking care of me, babysitting me, but he was heavy into drugs. So he had brought me with him and his friends to go and hang out while he was babysitting me. And I was raped at that time because it was a 17-year-old that was watching me while my brother and his other friend went to go and pick up drugs and alcohol. I guess he didn't have good judgment and left me with this person. And it was something that I feel like in when I was a child, I blacked out a lot of what had happened. And as I've gotten older, I've spoken through the podcast and I was able to recollect memories of what had happened at that time. And the worst part of that, I think, was yes, all the things happened the one evening that I was with them. And I think I was 9 years old. They're smoking weed and like blowing supers into my mouth so that I also would be high as well. And after the next day, when I was like, okay, I'm safe, I'm home, I'm alive, I went to go for a walk to the park by myself, pushing a stroller with a dolly in it. And the same guy had come over and was looking for my brother, and he had seen me, and he was like, just trying to chat like a normal conversation. Oh, do you remember what I taught you last night? Because he thought his portrayal of what he did to me was him teaching me how to protect myself against bad people. So whenever he was asking me, oh, do you remember what I taught you last night? And I was like, yep, I remember. Like, you don't have to do it again. And then he yelled at me, he was like, oh, aren't you too old to be playing with a doll? And I was like, no, I'm not. But he had actually tried to take me into a creek. And at that point, I don't know if I had a survival skill kick in, but somehow I wasn't harmed. I was taken into the creek. He was going to try to do the same things that he did the last time, but I think I had said something along the lines of, my dad knows that I'm here. My dad knows that I'd be back in 2 minutes, so he's gonna like come and get me. And I think he knew that he would be caught the second time around, so had then let me go. There was so many things that had happened within a certain amount of years, and I think as an adult, you learn that I don't believe that everything happens for a reason. I don't believe that I had to go through this so many times over and over again throughout my life in order for me to get where I am now. I think that, if I was supposed to be an adult who's more spiritual or a really good mother and caring for my children and all the things that I feel that I am today, I don't believe that that child that I was had to be abused and raped and molested all in the span of the young, most memorable and most detrimental times of their life, And then I think that because of all those things happening, it made me a much more promiscuous teenager who, didn't know the value of relationships. I went through neglect. I went through manipulation. I went through the abuse and the ne neglect. It was just, there's so many things that I had gone through that I look at myself today and I'm grateful I didn't take a different path. I think of how easy it would have been to be a drug addict or an alcoholic for the most of my life and do all of these things. And I don't know how I still stand on 2 feet today and breathe through the shit, like breathe through the things that really trigger me. I'm so grateful to know that there is another way for people like myself. And I think that's why when I see people that are troubled, or I think of these children, like when I see these news reports of somebody hurting these children, like I want to reach in, I want to hold them and tell them, you will be okay, but you need the right people around you. And I'm sure there's another part of my journey that I need to go through to get to that point, but I just don't know where I am in that yet. Now, for the things that I went through, like I said, I was more of a promiscuous teenager. My mother couldn't handle myself. And I can look at my parents and know that these are two completely separate and individual people who had their own traumas and their own childhood and things that you can't assume things about the people in your life just because they're your parents. You can't, I mean, I was so mad at them for so long. And I still have these things because I'm allowed to. I'm the child. I'm still allowed to have these hurt moments that had happened. But I think now I can look at my mother and understand her upbringing. She didn't have parents. She didn't have people to love and like care for her the way that I felt I should have had. And my father, same thing. He had one parent take care of him, but not well. And I look at these two broken human beings that came together in a broken relationship and had children, and then they split because of not knowing how to love and not take care of each other and that. So it is something that I'm grateful that I've been able to reflect on. It's been a journey of trying to figure that out instead of being hateful towards everyone that's hurt me. But as a teenager, my mother could not handle me, and I ended up moving into a youth shelter in the city. And again, you're around terrible people with terrible broken lives, and bad things will happen. So there was a couple times where I had gone through some scary things. I only recently understood that at some point in my teenage years, I was trafficked, and I didn't know what human trafficking was until the past couple of years. So I always thought that being trafficked meant basically abducted and sold, right? Only to now realize that, I mean, you're still basically coerced into a situation that you don't wouldn't necessarily want to do. And I mean, there was a gentleman who tried to, not a gentleman, there was a man that tried to sell me to people that he had met on the streets because they were interested in me. And they thought, oh, she would be fun for my friend who's going through a bad breakup, and how much, and all this stuff. And told me we were all hanging out. And I was young and naive. So I thought we were all hanging out with this group of people that he had met. And it was kind of like a, oh, hang on, I have to go back and grab something. You go ahead and I'll be there with you. And I was very naive. And as I'm walking with these guys, you just get this gut feeling of something's not right. And, I was led into an apartment. And as I'm going up the elevator, I get to the top and I just broke. And I like squatted in the corner of this elevator crying. And I thought they were just going to pick me up, and they didn't, thankfully. I thought they were going to pick me up and just drag me into the apartment building, and they didn't. They said, like what happened? And I just started crying, and I was like, I'm pregnant and my boyfriend and I are fighting, and that's why I was hanging out with that guy. And then they explained to me, well, he sold you. He sold he we paid money for you, so you're coming. And I was like, but I didn't know that. And I'm pregnant, and I'm just trying to like say anything that I can in the time. And like, and one of the guys, I guess the guy that they were trying to buy me for, was really kind, and he felt really bad. He didn't know what was happening, and he got me out of the apartment building, and he was like, I'm sorry for what you're going through. Here's some money for a bus. Just so you know, that guy, we gave him cash, and on a normally that means that you're paying for that service, whatever we paid him for, you have to provide the service. And I was like, I had no idea. I was a 16-year-old broken girl and I had no idea what was happening. It's just, there's so many of these things now as an adult again that I'm seeing that I had gone through without even realizing. And I'm terrified as a mother. I'm so scared that I'm trying to do my best to talk about all of the things because I don't want anybody that I know to grow up and say, oh, I didn't even know that's what that was. Or I had no idea what was happening to me. Like, I feel like the one thing that I lacked growing up was communication. Nobody communicated with us as to like what was in the world. It was just like, oh, don't dress like that. You're, getting the wrong attention if you dress like that. Not explaining that, when you dress like that, there's people out there that have, a misrepresentation of who you are because they have their own stuff. They think that this means that you want this. It was just told no, and that's it. So trying to learn who I was as I was going through this stuff was very, very difficult. But I feel like I've been lucky enough to eventually settle into a healthy relationship. I have my husband, who I've been with for 19 years now. We have three good, healthy, like well-behaved children. We are like a suburban family who just, I never, like knowing the little girl that I was, I never saw myself getting to where I am now. And to know that I was able to do it, I wish the same for everyone, I wish the same for people that want to have a calm, chill, healthy, like peace is everything nowadays, especially in the crazy world that we live in now. Peace is everything.
I agree with you 100%. Like, peace, priceless in more ways than one. And particularly if you've been through a lot, to have peace at any stage is something quite rewarding. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
And I think one of the things that I resonated with was, as someone who myself has been molested, raped, I was
Sorry.
a victim of teenage domestic abuse, and then I had kids later on in life. Becoming a mother, I feel like I probably would be considered like a tiger mom or a helicopter mom, where I'm just like all consuming. But one of the things that came up for me as I processed what I've been through was how unprotected I was by the people who should have protected me, right? Like, my parents should have protected me. Even in my abuse, I was a 16-year-old with a 30-something-year-old. And while I know I did everything I could to protect my relationship as a mother now, there would be nothing that I wouldn't do to end that relationship for my child. And I think a lot of things at one point in time I might have excused prior to becoming a parent. Now that I'm a parent, I literally cannot understand. And it's not to pass the blame on anybody, like you said it, like your parents, two broken people in a broken relationship, having kids that they weren't prepared for. I have a lot more empathy for my parents. However, it doesn't negate or excuse what I missed as a result of them being two humans who didn't have it figured out.
And they still don't want to do the work, right?
My father knew. I don't even have a relationship with him because there was zero ownership. Zero. And I assume that he is narcissistic, which makes sense. But yeah, there was no ownership, and I needed that. I needed someone to say to me, to admit to me, I dropped the ball when it came to you, and I didn't protect you the way that I needed to. And it doesn't change anything. My mom has taken ownership of the mistakes that she's made. Does it change my past? No, it doesn't change a damn thing. But I want people around me who can be accountable for their actions, you know, so that we can move forward. If there's no ownership, there's no basis for us to move forward. And that's how I feel about that. But one of the things that you mentioned was like that re-victimization when you did express that you had been molested. One of the reasons why I actually came into this space, if I'm honest, was how victims are handled. Something that was incredibly triggering for me was the Cassie and Diddy situation. And because it was played out in the open, a lot of people had very strong opinions about her. And I couldn't understand it. It angered me in such a way that I'm like, I want to be a voice against victim shaming and re-victimization because I don't think people recognize how dangerous it actually is. Like, this is somebody who's taken years to speak up about the issues that she's had, and for it all to be dumped on her because of the status of this man was ridiculous.
And
But let's
people,
like pare that back. Let's pare back their celebrity. This happens every day with people who have been victimized. It bothers me that we don't have enough compassion as a community to hear people out.
I think the hardest thing about even with Cassie and Diddy was the fact that people in the comments are always, oh, well, now after this many years, it always seems to be like, oh, why after this long? Now she has a reason. Like, what's her reasoning now, years later? And that's a huge trigger for me because I didn't talk about my stuff my entire life until I felt safe enough to talk about my stuff. And every time it is with celebrities, it's always, oh, well, they couldn't have been a victim because they waited so long.
And yet, most of our communities are traumatized. Most of us don't speak up about what we've been through, but yet there's this absence of compassion with that being the truth. You know what I mean? Like, there are women who have been raped and abused that are calling out this woman. I remember when I started sharing my story about my abuse with my first husband. I had a friend or someone who I thought was a friend, because I had to reevaluate that relationship, basically say, how the hell did you put up with that shit for so long? This person was married to a narcissist. I was helping her pay her mortgage. So, yeah, I got beaten, but you are being abused financially. You are being abused emotionally. You are walking on eggshells, but your circumstances are better than mine because he didn't hit you.
People aren't aware, I feel like,
Yeah, so there's a lack of awareness around, first of all, abuse, molestation. There's a lack of awareness about the residual impacts of trauma and how it shows up. You know, there have pe been people on this podcast who have come on and talked about, well, I actually didn't know I was traumatized until I actually started healing, which is why these conversations are so important, in my opinion.
It's funny that you say that, not realizing. I think you go through these things and you're like, there's got to be trauma there. There's something that's going on there. For me, the biggest thing was I started to realize after years of living in the same location, having the same people around me, like I should have been okay, I should have been safe, but I started getting irrational fears. And these irrational fears would be like, every time I would close my eyes at night, my fear would be somebody's going to walk in and stare at me while I'm sleeping. Or every time I would get into the car, I would curve off into the ditch. Like these things kept coming up in my brain. And I kept telling myself, these fears are keeping you safe. And it got to the point where I started to realize the people around me were kind of uncomfortable, didn't want to call me crazy, didn't want to make it a bigger situation than it could have been. But I started to recognize the people around me kind of being like, it's fine, it's okay, relax, 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 for me to understand that they were irrational, not legitimate fears.
And that just speaks to the way that our subconscious tries to protect us. It does create these scenarios that kind of keep us in a box, to keep us quote unquote unsafe. And until we actually challenge those narratives, it becomes our norm, you know?
And I didn't think that there was a way to get rid of it, right? All the irrational fears that were in my brain, I just thought that's how I worked, that's how I will always be. But once I started to actually, yes, process the pain, process the trauma, I went through it all. There was, and like my podcast is not like a very well put together professional podcast. It was just a healing journey for me. It was something that I needed to go through. And as I went through each episode, I was like, oh gosh. And my perception of everything else around me changed. Like all the awareness around my parents and my family and the parts they played in my life, they all became a lot more clear as I started to process each thing that I had gone through. And I think that's the thing with a traumatic event is that we shove it down deep within our body, and then it becomes illness later on in our life. With somatics, you learn that the trauma gets stuck into your body, and even the ones that we aren't aware of, even the traumas that happen to us that we don't understand. I was reading up on processing emotions, and especially with, like, I have the three kids, so they're like my guinea pigs when it comes to rehealing myself. That, one of them starts crying, and dad goes, hey, stop crying, enough of that. And I say, no. They get 90 seconds to process this emotion, they get 90 seconds to let themselves cry and let it all out. And in 90 seconds, if they are still upset, then you can ask, what's going on? What happened? Why are you still upset about this? Because it generally takes 90 seconds for us to process an emotion. So when something comes up for us, say you're watching a movie and you're like getting emotional, it's so easy to be like, oh, don't cry, people are here, But it's so important to let yourself just have that little cry. And if they judge you, who cares? Allow yourself to process that emotion so that it's not being stuck somewhere in your body later on. We don't realize all of our ailments that come up are from so many things that have happened throughout our life. And I know that there's like I'm in the process of doing my somatic certification, so I'm learning a lot of things, but I'm genuinely just soaking up the information that I'm in no rush to be a certified anything. I just love learning about how our bodies work, and especially going through this whole journey of dealing with the triggers that I have and the trauma that I'm processing and all the things. I love just knowing that, okay, if I have something going on with my leg, let me try to use energy to figure out what's happening in there and see if I can come up with what's happening within my body to understand why that's happening. So it's all very beautiful knowing that you can kind of process through, but.
I think it's so important for us to process.
Yes.
I've enjoyed this conversation. Tell us where we can connect with you online.
I am over on Instagram. It is Triggered by Trauma Podcast. And if you want to check out the episodes, they are on Spotify, Apple Music, Podbean. I want to say thank you so much for this beautiful platform. I'm so grateful that I got to have a chat with you today.
I am grateful as well. So before we all wrap it up, give us one key takeaway for the listeners.
My key takeaway would definitely be just listen to your body. And, even if you don't have a safe person to have that conversation with to talk about the things that you're dealing with, I think it's important to seek professional help or come and talk to me because I love you all and I want to help everybody heal their own stuff.
I love that open invitation because it's so important, right? Like, we don't always connect with everyone. So, if we find someone we can connect with and can learn to trust, I think it's important to lean into that support. So, Desi, thank you so much for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. And listeners, thank you for catching another episode. I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.